How many of you know where to find Zephaniah? Oh, well, Old Testament, that's good. I think the majority of us probably could have found that one. Fourth book from the end of the Bible in the Old Testament. Zephaniah. You don't hear a lot from the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah was four generations from Hezekiah. He was a grandson of Manasseh, and he was sent after Isaiah and Amos and some of those prophets. He was sent to warn the nation of Israel. Israel was much like America, much like many other nations, where they were greatly privileged, but sometimes they've been so blessed that they lost sight of how good God had been to them. And they began to allow some other things in their nation. I don't know that I was talking to Kendra before church, and she was talking about just in her age, her lifetime, how she'd seen some things change. And I said, you wouldn't believe the drastic change from those of us that's seen the last 30 years or so. I mean, it doesn't even look like the same nation. My heart grieves for our nation because our nation can't do what it's doing and escape the judgments of God. And right now, we are, it seems like the administration is doing everything it can to bring our nation down and just allowing anything and everything into our nation. And just like allowing our enemies to guard the outer perimeter when our soldiers were in there trying to load people up and get them out of Afghanistan. I mean, most of our kids, 8-year-old, could have figured out you don't put the fox in charge of the hen house. And then we end up losing 13 precious soldiers, among many injured, and then hundreds of other people that died because of that move. And who knows what's left. But I am gravely concerned with what's happening in our nation. I'm gravely concerned with what we're allowing nations like China to get by with, and we seem to just be building them up to bring us down. And so tonight I want to deal with some thoughts on the fall of a nation. Because in Zephaniah's time, the people here got a warning from God. They professed to make a change, but it wasn't a heart change, it was a head change. And even though they, on the outside, pretended to worship God, Jehovah, on the inside they worshiped Baal. You see, Baal, during their time, was a god of fertility. The farmers and people at the land, they looked to him instead of looking to the true living God. Sort of like our generation is doing. You hear of Mother Earth, climate change, Mother Nature. There's no such mothers. There's God Almighty.
That's right. Amen.
But that is the worship of Baal, to look at fertility. Then also, it was sexual fertility. Through some of the goddesses of Baal, they would have sexual perversion. They would have prostitutes in the worship services. And so they were sexually crazed in everything that they did. Sound familiar? Our nation has turned in to just, I mean, everything is about sex. And so when we look and we get back to this, I want to notice a couple things. And in lieu of reading a lot, I want to read chapter 3, the first 8 verses, and then I want to read a couple more verses in a moment. Now remember, this is the nation of Israel. This is one in which God had blessed, and one in which knew God and had spared. And let me say this. I said this the other day, but I want to say something. Any great nation can be brought to its knees very rapidly. You know, you go back to Egypt. Egypt had its power during the days of Joseph. And of course, in a moment when Moses and them were standing still and God told them to stand still and see the salvation of God and he parted the Red Sea, in a moment that great nation of Egypt was destroyed. The strength was destroyed in the midst of the Red Sea in a moment. Israel, when they went into the nation, the Canaan, they were the nation that was greatly feared. Then they end up being a nation greatly despised because of their sin. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar all the way through Belshazzar. And of course, Belshazzar was one having a drunken party whenever God wrote on the wall and told him he'd been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Amen. That nation, that great nation of Babylon that was so strong and great, fell in a moment. Then you find Medo-Persia, Cyrus, God's servant, raised up to lead them and conquer Babylon. In a moment, then they were conquered by a guy by the name of Alexander the Great in Greece. At the age of 30 years old, he had conquered all the land in all the world. And he drunk himself to death because he had no more lands to conquer. 30 years old. And Greece went down. And then Rome, in all of its strength, through all of the Caesars that took over Rome. Then we find different ones, even England at one time with its great navy and army was thought to be a strong nation. And then they come to America. In God We Trust has now turned into In Government We Mistrust. We can't have any trust at all in our government. And now God has been expelled from our schools. Prayer has been withheld from our sporting events. You can't even witness at work in many places and share a gospel tract. We have a form of godliness. We have seen our nation taken from pride to shame. Right now, our nation is being looked at in a shameful way all around the world. We've seen it go from morality to perversion. Our streets are full of perversion. There is no shame in what people does anymore in our streets. We went from a time of prayer in our nation. When you read the history of our nation as they was battling over the Constitution, the times that they would break for prayer. And we've gone from prayer to apostasy. We've gone from humility to arrogance. We've gone from God to shame. From lawfulness to lawlessness. I never thought I'd see a time when our police officers would be told to stand down and let a group of thugs break in a bunch of stores and just steal things. And right now, there's some places in some cities that they continually just steal and take whatever they want to and walk out of the store. That's right. I never thought we would see a lawless lawlessness like we're seeing in our nation right now, and to see capitalism that has built this nation being taken down to socialism. And that's where we're headed. Once the government gets us and we get dependent upon the government, you'll own everything that you have. And last but not least, a nation of great prosperity. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but we owe some $24 trillion. And if it wasn't for them printing money, we would be a bankrupt nation. And so we need to wake up. I love America. And I am American. And it is not dead yet. And so therefore I feel that I need to do what I can do, and you need to do what you can do. Every one of you, you need to be alert. You need to be wise. You need to know what's going on. You need to vote. You need to play a role. Now, I know God will do what he's doing, but I'll tell you this. God's not going to allow us to continue doing what we're doing, shedding innocent blood in abortions, and doing the things that we continue to do, and he's not going to allow this nation to continue to stay great.
Amen.
He's going to bring this nation down to its knees. We're already on the verge of socialism. Liberalism has eaten up everything that we've got. And communism's right next one step away. And we need to be very careful. Begin reading in chapter 3 in verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. Now remember, this is talking about Israel. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones until the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He felleth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, and none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed. So that there is no man, that there is none inhabited. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Now, if you look back in the Bible, in chapter 1, you'll find that not only is Zephaniah talking about the day in which he lives, that Babylon's going to come, but he's also talking about the great day of God when the end's going to come. Look in verse 14, chapter 1. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. Let me say this. I believe that the day of the Lord is near. I've said that many times, and I'm saying it more and more clearly all the time. But I want to look in these first 8 verses of chapter 3, and I want to find some things comparable to our nation that was in Israel. Look in verse 1. It said that they were filthy and polluted. It was a nation that is sinful. You know, there are several things that God hates. God hates pride. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. And there's no more innocent blood than babies in the wombs.
Amen.
And so therefore, we're killing millions of them every year as a type of contraceptives, just to prevent someone from having responsibility of taking care of a baby once that they make the baby. And so there's no integrity of people. And immorality and all kinds of perversion is just spilling over everywhere that we turn. And I was looking, and you know, things have changed so much. Even yesterday, I went over to look at some of the cars at the car show, and I don't know how many a girl and girl will be all hugged up while walking around, all snuggled together. No shame. And I thought, how sad perversion has just come upon our streets everywhere. And listen, you can try to say all you want to say, and I don't care who in your family does what. God hasn't changed his mind upon it. Amen. It's still abomination in God's eyes, and it's not changed. Amen. And so nothing would change. And this nation is a sinful nation. Amen. We can say what we want to about it, but you cannot look, and you cannot look at the news, and you cannot look around this land and come up with any conclusion except this nation is much like Israel. It's filthy and it's polluted. And it's allowing those things. And though filth and pollution has moved into the laws of our land. Not only that, but look if you would in verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. To obey not the voice means that she'd heard the voice. She had the word. This nation is a nation that has the word of God everywhere they want it. Now places like Target, I don't know if you know that, they made a determination some time ago they were not going to sell the Bible anymore because it was controversial. I say this, anywhere the Bible is not welcome, I'm not welcome. As far as I'm concerned. But I'm just not picking on them. I just use them for example. What I want you to understand is this. The Word of God is everywhere in this land. The Bibles are available. If you don't have a Bible, you see me and you'll have one before you leave this building tonight. Bibles are readily available. But just because we have Bibles in this land, and there are so many countries that would love to have Bibles. I remember when I was going and going in foreign fields, and I would hand out, and people would come to you begging just for a tract, or just for a Gospel of John, or a Gospel of Romans. They come up and ask you if you would give them one. They'd ask if you could give them one for their family, that they could have their family. And you give them a New Testament, and they'd think it'd be something new. And man, they thought it was a something great. And here we have Bibles, and we never pick them up. They had and they knew God's word. But the Bible says that they obeyed not the voice. They knowingly rejected what God's word said. Our nation has been founded upon the word of God. 92% of our Constitution was either written from or influenced by the word of God. Amen. We had integrity in this nation. Also in verse 2 he says that they received not correction. In other words, they would reject the messages of God. And when they'd hear preaching, like we're preaching tonight, they would get upset. You know, whenever we had the attack in September 11th, whenever we had that attack, people talked about it being the judgment of God. Look around. Right now on the shores of Louisiana, we have hurricanes that's coming through and pushing through. Kelly said that our hospitals around the land are so full that they've got nowhere to take those nursing home residents and those hospital residents that's down there on the coast. Always before, they would fly them out to a place of safety when hurricanes would come in. Now, hospitals are full of COVID patients and other type of patients, and they're full. And they got no place to send them. Somebody said, what in the world is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. The judgment of God is happening in this nation. We can't continue doing what we're doing. Who you think is in control of the winds and the sea and the waves? Who do you think turns the nations like he turns rivers? Who do you think, they say he knows my name. Who do you think that knows the end from the beginning? And I challenge any of you to find in the Bible where God didn't know you from the very beginning of foundation of the world. He knew who you was long before you was ever anything. Because that's the knowledge of God. We have turned our necks strong. We see this, we see things happening, and just like this last week, to see what happened in Afghanistan broke my heart. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. The writing was on the wall, and anybody could see it coming. And yet you see a bunch of stiff-necked people running around, ignoring the warnings and the judgments of God, making excuses and wanting to blame somebody else for it all the time. Not only that, but look on. It says she trusted not in the Lord in verse 2. In other words, she becomes self-reliant. We've forgotten where all our blessings came from. We've forgotten how and why we're so great. You know why this nation is greater than all the other nations on the earth right now? Because you're seeing a carryover of how God blessed this nation because of the way this nation was formed. And some things that it put into this nation when it was formed. Now, a couple presidents ago, President Obama, he come out and he said, no longer braggingly, because all he thinks we Christians do is carry guns and do a few things. He come out and said, no longer bragging, is America a Christian nation? Somebody said it never was a Christian nation. You better go back to the founding and look. Did you know there was a time in this nation when there was 13 colonies that you couldn't run for office unless you professed to be a Christian? Did you know that? Wouldn't it be great today that you couldn't run for office unless you professed to be a Christian? Amen. And if you didn't act like one, we should be able to kick you out of office? Amen. Amen? But look here. We have become proud in our accomplishments. We have learned to trust government instead of trusting God. It's like Brother Eric was talking about this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. We quit looking to God for our daily bread, and we've got looking to the government. And the government just keeps printing money and handing out. But lo, do we know, it's the old devil, how sly he is. And all he wants to do is give us all depend upon the government. And then the government has us. And when we got to depend upon the government, then he'll tell us what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And then we'll not have any freedoms to do it. Not only that, look on in verse 2. They drew not near to their God. They willfully rejected. As I said, our schools have made a conscious decision. They didn't want God in them. Our courts have made a conscious decision. They don't even reference God anymore. The Supreme Court has ruled against even Pulaski County Court having the Ten Commandments. And you know the hypocrisy in it? When you walk in the Supreme Court, if you've ever been to the Supreme Court, you walk through the double doors going into the Supreme Court, right on the doors, graved in the wood, is the Ten Commandments. And if you go inside the Supreme Court, right over top of the Chief Justice's head is a copy of the Ten Commandments. And yet they ruled it was illegal for us to have it in Pulaski County on the wall. What I'm trying to tell you is we have got where we don't draw nigh to God anymore. We've rejected him. Knowing that, the Bible says in verse number 3 that the princes, that's the governing people and the judges, that's our politicians, they've become corrupt, roaring lions, evening wolves. And what they've done is they've turned this country into anarchy. We don't have any, used to, even on both sides, used to, Republican and Democrat both had some statesmen about them. They cared more for the country than care for the party. Now, the party, they'll vote for the party knowing that they're going to destroy the country. It's hard to find a statesman, hardly at all anymore, that's not bought and sold by somebody. It's crying shame. We've gone from prayer and fasting to bribery and corruption and selling to the highest bidder and special interests. And listen, I'm not talking about just one side. Listen, I could never be right now. I could never be in this nation. I could never be a Democrat right now as they stand. And I'll tell you why. Because they stand for everything biblically against the Bible. They support abortion. They support things that I can't support. But I'm going to tell you something else. They're 4/5 of the Republicans that I have no stomach for. Because both of them are sold and bought. with special interest. And whatever the special interest says to do, that's what to do. It's no longer for the people and by the people. They've sold themselves out. They become corrupt. Did you ever stop and figure out? I teach math over here in school. It doesn't take a genius to figure out. You sit there and you make $135,000 a year, and you pay $3, $4, $5, $10, $12, $15, $20 million to get that job. Something don't add up. Then you always leave. Do you ever notice that? Everybody always leaves. I mean, take our president, Barack Obama. He come in to this, never worked a day and doing nothing. He was something with Chicago there, a community leader or something. Now worth hundreds of billions of dollars. How did that happen? Not only him, but many others. Look at all our congressmen. They come in, and then all of a sudden they leave, and guess what? They're all millionaires. You know why? Corruption. Our princes and our judges are corrupt. I'm not saying all of them. Thank God there's still a few that's holding out. But I'm saying the majority are. And it's sad. Now I'm telling you that God didn't allow Israel to stand, and he judged Israel. He's judged other nations for that, and he's not going to allow America to continue on like we're doing. Not only that, but look on. In verse number 4, not only is the core the state houses and the politicians corrupt, but he says the prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. We are not only politically corrupt, we're religiously corrupt.
That's right.
Our pulpits are shallow. We quit preaching. If the larger churches that run 50,000 would preach the truth and preach hard, it changed things, but the only problem is they wouldn't be running 50,000 if they did. And what happens is this. All of them folds with the government when the government puts anything upon the churches and little churches like ours, then we suffer persecution because they come down upon us. But pews have turned sinful. Testimonies have gone and faded. Look in verse 5, the last part. The unjust knoweth no shame. I look at the streets and these gay parades. They've taken away all our founding fathers in all these places. They've taken away anything that has reference to God and Christ. You can't even put up a Christmas tree or something because of some reference to Christ. You can't put up a nativity scene in some of these places. But yet they can set, and they have a gay pride for a month. And they run up and down the streets naked, kissing and slobbering all over each other. It's a crying shame. There's no shame. No shame. Somebody said, why has it changed? I was talking to her about things change. In our day, if someone messed in that, they kept in the closet and they were ashamed to bring it out. Yeah. And you say, well, it's good that they've removed their shame. No, it's just a sign that God has given them over to reprobate minds where they have no shame in the disgust. But don't think that God's not going to judge them. But the sad part about it is there's no conviction to them anymore, and therefore they're not going to surrender to him. Sin has been accepted and justified in this nation. And I preached the other day about the laws that's passed and the law and the courts has no right to try to set something different than what God had created, since he's the creator of it. Amen. Look in verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up unto the prey, for my determination to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, and pour upon them my indignation. The anger of the Lord is going to come, and judgment of the Lord is going to come. I love this nation, and I hate to see it judged. I look at these kids, and I think if Jesus doesn't come back, I look at these little small kids. And I look at Carson, I look at Riley, and different ones like, and I think, what's it going to be when they are 20 and 30 years old? What are they going to raise up believing and thinking? Last but not least, look if you would in chapter 2. I still believe there's hope, but there's only one hope. It says, gather yourself together in verse 1. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass out of the shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. You say, what can we do? Folks, we only have one option on what to do in the day in which we live. We better be seeking the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to be praying for this nation. I don't want to give up on this nation. I want to pray for this nation. I want to see the nation turn around. But I realize that evil men are going to wax worse and worse. I realize that the days are going to get worse. But I still want to pray for this nation. I want to pray for leaders of this nation. I want to pray that God will raise up leaders of this nation that would lead us in righteousness. He says, seek ye, Lord, all ye the meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. And so what we do is we not only seek the Lord, we seek the things that are right for this nation. If they're not right for this nation, then we don't go along with it. We don't stand. We don't put our stamp of approval on it. We don't vote for it. Listen, I've made this statement before, and I mean it. I would never vote for anyone who would support abortion.
Right.
I would never vote and pull a lever.
Amen.
For anyone.
That's right.
I would find someone, I don't care who they are, that was running for office that did not. I don't care what party they were. I would not vote for someone that would support killing innocent babies and taking their blood.
Amen.
Just no way. It says, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And so therefore, what I want you to understand is this. I know many of you love the nation. There's nothing that angers me more than to see people burn the flag and spit on the flag and stomp the flag and refuse to stand for the flag and kneel to the flag. I'm about through with all these sports. I'm fed up with them. If they want to be politicians, then I say, fine, but don't expect my money and supporting to watch you. But what I'm trying to get across to you is this. I know that you love the nation, and I do too. And you young people, I know that many of you don't understand how far it's gone. I know you don't understand how deep and depth it is, but I'm going to tell you something. All you got to look forward to, unless we change the course of this nation, is the judgments of God continually coming against this nation. You're going to see God use nature against it. You're going to see God do the same thing with Israel. He rises up the enemies against it. And my friend, right now, he is building strong the enemies of this nation. I don't know whether you know it or not, even our allies are jealous of us. They're jealous of the prosperity that this nation has enjoyed. But our enemies would like nothing more than see us brought to servitude. And that's going to happen if we continue on the path we're making. And just as Zephaniah tried to warn Israel, we need to be warning our people. But we've got to have ears to hear. And our only hope is this: seek the Lord, seek righteousness, and seek meekness. And that's the only thing here he says that will turn away the judgment of God. And we need to do that. And so that's why the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their iniquity and I will heal their land.
Amen.
God help us to seek him. Let's pray and then we'll sing a song of invitation. Heavenly Father, oh God, we pray for our nation. Lord, we're bringing strangers in to burn our cities. We're bringing strangers in to destroy. We're bringing strangers in and putting them in our governments that could care less about the history of our country, that just wants to destroy what you have built. God, we recognize your blessings. We're truly grateful that we live in a land with the freedoms that we have. We also recognize that there is many that stands wanting to take all these freedoms away. And God, I think where we would be had we not grown up in a land where we had the freedom to come to church, to hear the word of God preached, and Lord, let it convict our souls and come to Jesus as a personal Savior. Oh God, I thank you for a nation that's allowed us to do that. I thank you, Lord, to be in a nation where we haven't had to grieve over our children's food and next meal. Lord, we've had bread abundantly. And God, we thank you for all the many blessings that you blessed us with. But oh God, I pray for the leaders of our country. I pray, dear God, that you would turn their hearts. Or Lord, that you would move them out of the way and put leaders up there. God, that would help turn this nation back around. That we would be seeking righteousness. And Lord, we would seek meekness and strength through peace. And Heavenly Father, that we would seek you in each and everything that we would do. God, help us to do those things. But Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for our nation. But Heavenly Father, we also want to pray for those who gather here. Maybe there's someone here that's not saved. And Lord, there's worse things than losing our nation. And that would be losing your soul and spending eternity in hell.
Amen.
Oh God, I pray that you would awaken that soul tonight and bring them to Jesus. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. As we stand. On an ego trip, I've nothing on my... How about tonight?